Okay, let's go ahead and get started and hope that the folks that have SIP connection problems can either sort it out. And we're going to try to really fix this problem where we don't allow bridged connections to join the call, because that's clearly causing problems for those that are overseas and want to connect and not spend a fortune making overseas calls. All right, up to scribe today. Brian, Mark, are you in a position to scribe today?
Thanks, Manu. Yes, I'm fine to scribe.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, here's our agenda for today. On the agenda today is a quick recap of the executive summary. Make sure that the group thinks that the executive summary is good. Then I think the bulk of today's call is going to be discussing use cases and checking out the micro use cases proposal. And then a quick update from Nate and Sunny and Dave Longley on where the vocabulary discussion went yesterday. Anything else that we need to discuss today? Anything else to put on the agenda? Okay, then first up is the executive summary. So the executive summary documents can be found here. I don't think much changed. Let me check to make sure. I don't think much changed in the executive summary. We are going to start circulating it very soon. There was one thing that changed. We added a bit on accessibility. So credentials should be accessible to 10% of the world's population that has disabilities of some kind, whether it be no fingerprints, for example, for biometric identification. Some people don't have fingers or hands or fingerprints, whether it's low sight or no sight, low sight or no sight disability. So accessibility, we were missing that, and it's required by W3C that we have something about accessibility in there and that we design technologies such that they are accessible. Because at some point, all of us will go blind. It just depends on how old we are when that happens. So that was, I believe, the only addition to the executive summary. Does anyone on the call have concerns about the executive summary or starting to circulate it more widely among the W3C membership and new organizations that we're trying to bring into the work? Any concerns, questions?
Wait, what are we doing for disability?
Well, all the executive summary says is that whatever credentialing solution we need to create has to take accessibility concerns into account. W3C has a big group that deals with accessibility. So we'll have the Web Accessibility Initiative looking at our work and making sure that we're not doing things that prevent the use of the technology by people that have disabilities.
Okay. So that like the question of whether linked data and other things are accessible or?
Well, linked data in general is accessible. Like that went through the whole accessibility initiative. So linked data itself is accessible. In fact, it increases accessibility because it's machine readable, and then the machine can decide what the best presentation format is for the person that's interacting with the linked data. So, you know, does there need to be audio output, certain types of braille output, things of that nature.
Okay, so it's about your specific use case and what it does. Like, so you'd have to have braille support for credentials, you mean? And such?
We would have to ensure that So one place that this comes out is in the use cases. So for example, in the use cases, we need to have a use case to demonstrate how somebody that cannot see receives a credential and then provides access to that credential. So that's an example. It's a very broad, this whole like we need to pay attention to accessibility is a broad concern that needs to be demonstrated in the use cases. And it really has a lot more to do with how people interact with these credentials. Like, for example, because accessibility is in there right now, we couldn't say use of biometric fingerprints is required. And that's the only
okay.
way to, you know, do
so something that actually something that actually requires a certain sensor, a certain thing that some people may not have the use of, or
yeah, we have to provide an alternate mechanism.
Okay.
So in general,
that
that's how.
Speaking, please.
That was Brent speaking.
Thank you, Brent.
And one a minor comment, Mark. Make sure to put the person's name colon and then what they said. Otherwise, the.
Yep, that's why I asked. Thanks.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. And then Carrie's having connection issues.
So the one thing I've been kind of adding whenever I see these credential definitions is like a short bit at the very end of the examples that says something like typically used to indicate suitability. So that because we've had several discussions about how a credential is more than just a statement about an entity. It's really a statement about an entity that has some purpose, and that purpose, the dictionary definition is something like a credential is typically used to indicate that someone is suitable for something. And so I've just been throwing on the end of these examples that, to say that the credential is typically used to indicate suitability. And I did the same thing here in the executive summary because it better leads into the next sentence, which is talking about the use of credentials.
Is that Dave?
Yeah, that was Dave.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep, agreed. I tried to integrate it into the other documents. In this one, wondering if people will understand what suitability means, but like you said, maybe the sentence after that explains what it means.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the second sentence and then the third one that goes into the use cases, hopefully that elaborates on what suitability means.
So where would, I'm sorry, may I speak? Or?
Yep, go ahead.
Where would gym membership or a marriage license fit in?
So that second sentence says the use of credentials to demonstrate capability or membership is a practice as old as society itself, and then we've got a list of things here.
Okay.
I guess it's probably it might fall under workplace, or it might fall under civil society, or it might fall under identity in terms of membership.
Yeah, and in general, keep in mind that this is an executive summary. We're not trying to, you know, talk about everything under the sun. We're just trying to give people examples of the types of things we want to enable.
Okay.
Okay. 661 area code. Is that you, Carrie?
I'm 401, but I'm coming in from Skype, so it could be.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Lonnie.
Okay, any other comments on the executive summary before we move on? Okay, so I think in general, you know, people are cleared to start circulating this among, Elf asked a question. When will we have link to support form available? That is a very good point. We need to create that form. So I think
what form is that, please, Mena?
The support form. Basically, we need to create a form that people can click on to say, you know, this is my organization, we would be interested in supporting this at W3C, or we would be interested in joining W3C to support the work. So there are links at the bottom of the document that we need to create. We need to create a link to the charter. The charter is pretty much, you know, the draft charter is pretty much done. We need to create a link to the support form that people fill out to make sure that they support the work. And then we need a link to the use cases document, which we're going to talk about today. So once all three of those things are done, then we can start circulating the executive summary. So I think we can get the first ones done. The second one, which is the link to the support form, needs to be done. That shouldn't take but 30 minutes to put together. And then the use cases need to be done still. So that's going to take at least, you know, a couple more weeks to get done. But what we can do is circulate some of these, circulate the executive summary to organizations that we have a pretty good relationship with, and we can explain what the executive summary is about, just to give them a heads up that things are coming down, things are kind of coming down the pipeline. Okay, so to answer your question, Elf, we need to fill the links out before we do broad sharing of this document. And so let's try and get that done by next week or the following week. So I'll take an action to add the charter link and the link to the support form, and then the link to the use cases. I'll update all the links, but it's going to take a while to get the use cases kind of into shape. Okay. Any other questions or comments before we move on?
Manu, a question from me, from Adrian.
Yep.
Would we consider the use cases for ownership as important in this work? So I'm talking about as opposed to asserting, a skill or an age or something like that. So it probably falls within the payments gambit, but something like I own a specific
right.
set of assets in an account. Used for things like authorized access to accounts.
Yeah. So maybe there's that last bullet should be identity/ownership. I think you raise a very important point, and I don't think we've really. I think we were kind of thinking maybe some of that fits into civil society, maybe some of that fits into identity, but we haven't been explicit about it.
I guess the use case there is things like. Cryptocurrencies, where generally people assert ownership by holding a private key. If you were to have agents in between the owner and the system, you would want the owner to be able to assert that they own the asset, and then the agent who maybe holds the private key in their behalf can then operate on the currency or operate on. And if we do it in a model like that, it allows it to operate in any asset ownership sort of scenario. So. Even traditional bank accounts or stock trading, whatever the case may be.
Yep. Adrian, would you mind adding some draft text there?
Okay, I'll give that some thought, and I'll put
Great.
Something.
Thank you. Okay, anything else in the executive summary before we move on? Okay. Next topic up is the use cases. This is the last document we need to get into shape before we have a good package together for W3C management to pitch to the membership. We have our current use cases document is here. Current use cases document is here. So the current use cases document, Sunny and Carrie and Nate have been working on. Thank you very much for doing all that work and reorganizing that document. I promised last week that I would try to propose a micro use case based approach. Proposed micro use case case-based approach. The micro use case-based approach is the same kind of layout and format that we're using in the web payments group. It has worked fairly well for that group in that once we got the document into this form, we were able to make more rapid progress on use cases, add new use cases faster than we were under the old model. So let me go over that very quickly. The links in IRC to reading what else is saying. We'll circle back around what Nate or Elf is saying here in a second. So the credentials community group, micro use cases, if people could just look at take a look at the table of contents, that'll hopefully give us an idea on how the document structure or what the proposed document structure is. So we start out with effectively just an introduction, a high-level introduction, which is effectively what's in our executive summary now. You know, what's a credential? Why is it important? You know, what are the different scenarios that credentials can be used? So that's kind of in the introduction. In the importance of the work, you know, we can talk about how their, you know, credentials on the web aren't necessarily interoperable today. We want an open patent and royalty-free standard to do so, things of that nature. So the introduction is very, very high level, just a basic intro to what this group is doing. The next bit is a high-level introduction to the life cycle of a credential. So there are multiple ways to approach this kind of the first introduction that people have to how we think about the problem of credentials on the web. So there's a phase-based approach, which is what the Web Payments Group is using. So the phase-based approach kind of thinks about what are the phases you go through when you do a payment. Right, I tried to apply the phase-based approach to credentials, and it didn't work out very well. Like with payments, it's a fairly straightforward process, or at least we were able to kind of streamline it into a straightforward process. Whereas with credentials, it's not necessarily a straightforward process. You don't like start at the beginning of the payment and then end at the end of the payment. You start where the credential is issued to you, and then you can do a whole bunch of stuff with the credential once it's issued to you. So instead of doing a phase-based approach, I tried to organize this as kind of the life cycle of a credential. So there are things that happen in the life cycle of a credential. So one of the things that happens is there's this whole issuing earning aspect of it. So that's everything from a company or organization saying we have these credentials that you could earn from us if you take our tests or go through our training, to you taking the test and getting or proving that you have a particular skill or attribute and then getting the credential issued to you. So one part of the life cycle of the credential is issuing and earning the credential. The second part is the consumption of the credential. So that happens when either the recipient of the credential wants to send it to someone or some organization, or it happens when an organization asks for the credential in some way. So the organization says, we need to see a valid passport from you. We need to see a valid shipping address for you, right? So that's kind of the consumption of the credential. And then there was a third part, which I was not very clear on, you know, how these things fell out, that had to do with kind of managing and endorsing a credential. Now, these basic categories were taken from the document that Carrie and Sonny and Nate put together. So it's nowhere even close to complete, but it's an attempt to try and demonstrate that we could potentially talk about credentials, the use cases in kind of like the life cycle of a credential breakdown. So you have major things that you do, like issuing and consuming and managing, and then each one of those big categories has kind of like pretty defined sub steps. So, for example, in issuing earning, you know, this first step it would probably be something like the issuer advertises the credential that you could earn from them. The second step is the recipient earns the credential by taking a test or proving that they have a particular attribute or skill. The third step is that the issuer actually issues the credential to the recipient, doing a digital signature, you know, transferring. And then the fourth step is that the recipient ends up storing that credential somewhere. Now, for each one of these sub-steps, they can be skipped. So, for example, maybe the issuer doesn't go through the advertising step. Maybe the issuer doesn't say these are the credentials I have, you know, available. Maybe the recipient just walks in off the street, takes a test, and then you start at, you know, step two. So a lot of these steps could be potentially skipped. Okay, so let me stop there and just let's try and see if the life cycle of a credential is the right way to look at this, or if that's just completely off base. So any comments from folks on whether this is the right direction or the wrong direction? Thoughts?
Yeah, I have a quick comment, which is that so when looking at the payments document and the, how the payments phases worked, they generally only have one thing they're modeling, which is a payment transaction. So they have these phases in there that are like negotiate payment terms, negotiate payment instruments, payment processing, and then delivery of product or receipt and refunds. I think we have the same thing over here with credentials. It's just that we have multiple boxes to put these phases into. So issuing and earning breaks down into four phases, and then consuming breaks down into four phases. So it's not that I don't think the model works. It's that we've got a more hierarchy here. So I think we've got multiple things that we need to model. We have issuing that needs to be modeled, and consuming that needs to be modeled, and then we need to figure out where managing and endorsing go as well. But if you just look at issuing a credential as if you want to draw the analogy to the payment document, if you look at that as processing a payment or a single payment transaction, that model could fit with issuing a credential. And so issuing a credential then has four phases. The same thing is for consuming a credential. It has four phases. And so I think we can make the analogy work, and I think it does make sense. It's just we've got more stuff to document than the payments work does.
Okay, so there are questions on the queue. Nate asked a question, and then Brent, you're on the queue. So, Victoriano. Sorry, I'm going back up the stack. Elf said something that I don't quite understand.
Elf is referring to, I think we're going to get to that a little bit later in the agenda.
Okay.
That's going to be a review of the discussion that we had about modeling and so forth.
Okay, got it. Victoriano said that he had looked at the micro use cases document and really likes the approach. Nate said, sorry, just joining now. Yeah, I think we noticed with the previous approach that the phases overlapped more with credentials than they did with something like commerce. And then Nate is saying, how can we convey when steps might be skipped in this format? In the payments document, we just at the beginning of the document, we just say, you know, this is how you read the document. Keep in mind that in each one of these phases, there are certain steps that may or may not be skipped. And we'll get to this a bit later on, but at the very end of the document, there's this section called the credential life cycle in the real world. And so we talk about, you know, how a workforce training slash, you know, credential is done, how a professional license credential is done, how a university degree is done. And in those scenarios, at least we did this in the payments case, those scenarios, we specifically, you know, write down a step, and then we say this step is skipped for this scenario. So that's one way to do it.
Interesting.
Brent, you're on the queue. You might be muted.
I'll type it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just wondering, from the use cases, it looks like you're trying to standardize a protocol. of issuing a credential and verifying it, and et cetera. So I was looking at like what makes something interoperable. It seems like that would be linked data, but then you're going beyond the saying specific to credentials. This is kind of the flow that would happen.
Yeah, so I think in general what we're trying to do, I mean, in general what W3C tends to do is a focus on protocols and data formats. Really, it's that, you know, W3C tends to focus very much on the data format side of it, and anything that starts getting to be like a very low level protocol, like further down in the stack, W3C either decides, usually the working groups decide to either keep it in W3C if it's kind of webby and more high level, or if it goes down pretty deep in the stack, like below HTTP or around HTTP, then the protocol's punted off to the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF. So I think your observation is spot on. We are talking about a protocol here, and we're talking about data formats.
Okay. So do you have an ontology specific to credentials? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's what Nate and Sonny and Carrie have been looking at. You know, the Badge Alliance has an ontology for kind of badging, you know, things that are specific to the education sector or education/learning sector. There is a credentials vocabulary ontology that is supposed to be super lightweight and pretty abstract. Well, not abstract, but fairly lightweight to ensure interoperability. So to answer your question, yes, we've got two ontologies that we're looking at now. One of them is the Open Badges, you know, ontology vocabulary, and the other one is the credentials ontology vocabulary. Did that answer your question?
So basically the use cases are kind of how you use that in a way, or what you're trying to accomplish.
The use cases come first. So the it just so happens that we're working on all of this stuff in parallel. But really the use cases are supposed to be pretty generic. They're not supposed to even talk about linked data, really. I mean, they can talk about extensibility, but they shouldn't talk about linked data. They shouldn't talk about, you know, specific technologies that we can use to solve the problem. The use cases are really more about what world do we want to see in the next 2 to 3 to 4 years. And then the working groups take the use cases, derive requirements, derive the technology from the requirements. At least that's typically how the process works.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions on at least the high-level view of the life cycle of a credential? Carrie is saying that she breaking down in this format is nice and clear. She's slightly concerned about calling or referencing it as a life cycle, not sure about a replacement term. I agree, and I think life cycle is just that's the first thing that popped into my head, but if we have a better term for it, I think that would be good. In the payment stuff, we call it the phases of a payment. The downside to that is, I don't have a good replacement term.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to agree. I think it's the main reason I think it's a bad term, because it seems to indicate that your credentials are always going to expire, or short lived. But I think the problem is that I do think we can use the phase terminology. It's just we don't have a word in the payments document for the. The thing that sits above phases. So, in the payments spec, we have doing a transaction, and we don't have a high level abstract name for that. And doing a transaction, or I guess you could ask it as a question: how do you do a transaction? Well, you go through these four phases. And we have the same thing in the credential spec, but we have multiple questions: how do you issue a credential? Well, you go through these four phases. How do you consume a credential? Well, you go through these four phases. Does that modeling make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the question is, what's the high-level
Right. Yeah, I think we can still use phases. I think it's good. We just need a high-level term because we have more high-level things to model versus here in the credentials work versus in the web payments work.
Agreed. Does that sound rational to the other folks on the call? Is there any other thoughts on modeling it a different way? Nate, you're on the queue.
Sure. Well, so, like, for example, in the consuming phase, I had left a comment saying that, you know, this is a good job breaking down the, you know, our phase that started with a consumer request, but not all credential sharing and consuming operations are going to start with that one. And then, so that was one of the things where it, maybe we could just leave out one step, or maybe it would be necessary to write a separate little, like, four-step phase that would start out with, like, identifying a consumer you want to share your credentials with, and then deciding what credentials to share, and then sharing, and then having the consumer verify them, and gaining a, you know, getting that last step, granting access, where we substitute some steps as opposed to just like leaving one out.
Yep. Yeah. So I want to kind of underscore that the structure, like the steps and the classifications, I think still needs a lot of work. This is just a first pass to just try and figure out in general whether or not it would stick together at all. So I agree with you, Nate. I think, you know, especially with the consuming case, you had I think where we page three, in the middle of page three, I think, Nate, that's what you're talking about. Is that right?
Right. Sure.
Yeah, so that, you know, we start off with the credential, consumer requests a credential, and clearly, as Nate outlined, that may not always be the case. Maybe I want to push a credential to someone, so maybe we skip the first step and we jump straight to recipient authorizes credential transmission, so the recipient has some idea of who they want to send it to. So we have to make stuff like that fit, right, in these phases, and the question is exactly how do we do it. One way is, you know, we say that the first step's optional. Another way is we come up with a completely different flow, a credential flow. The trap that we fell into in the payments group is that we started off by trying to, like, demonstrate all these different flows, and it actually turned out that we had a lot, like, you have, like, we had something like 30 to 40 flows, different things that could happen in different ways when it comes to payments. And I have a feeling that we may not get as complex in the credentials work, but we could approach it. I mean, I think we could probably come up with like 10 to 15 different flows at least. And getting that into a document and explaining it to people is difficult. So I think right now the right approach is this, you know, we have phases and steps inside the phases, and some of the steps can be skipped. But we won't know until we get, you know, more use cases in there and try to you know, get the use cases to fit into this framework. Nate, does that seem like a reasonable way to proceed, or do you have some other ideas on how we could do it?
Sure. I mean, I'm right. I think it is a matter of massaging this format a little bit until it actually represents the things that we're trying to do. The same with any of the other formats that we were coming up with, and then making it look fairly clear to the reader, like, what's going on if we've done anything complicated. Like, here's two different alternate flows that could represent consuming a badge. I see Sunny's asking a question in the IRC. Did you look at whether any of the information from the use cases doc that she had generated previously could then sort of backfill the empty spots in this document fairly easily?
Yes. In fact, I just copy-pasted what's in the old document into this document. So we should be able to take all the content from the old document and just put it into this document. It just goes in different places. So to respond, Sunny, are you on audio today? If you are, you might be muted.
Hi.
Hey. I can hear you.
Great. Yeah, I just want to make sure that we we can work profit with, and I understand the try to bar the web payments framework. I also want to make sure that we're not, this isn't like a square peg in a square circle box that you know we're trying to fit this into a framework that might be the best.
But you're not, I can't understand what you're saying. Would you please use IRC?
Yeah, your audio is breaking up pretty badly, Sonny.
Okay.
But I think from what I think what this is what I heard through the broken audio. Sonny said it sort of feels like we're doing use cases all over again from scratch, and it feels like we might be trying to fit this into kind of the way the payment stuff did it, rather than something that actually fits the credentials work. And then Sonny, hopefully in IRC, you can let us know if that's correct or I missed an important detail. Okay, so Sonny's saying that's correct. Definitely open to the micro use case approach, just throwing caution out there. So I think those are very valid points, Sonny. One of the reasons, I mean, keep in mind that this isn't a completely experimental document. We're just putting it out there to see what people think about it. No one has decided that this is the way that we're going to end up going yet, or the group has not come to that consensus yet. To address some of your concerns, Sonny, I think we end up reusing all the content in the previous document, or the vast majority of it. So 80% of the content that exists in the previous document, we should be able to move into this document. So I don't think we are going to lose any of that hard work that's gone into the other document. At least that's what ended up happening when we did this kind of approach with the payment stuff. If we find out that we are losing content, then the question is, you know, why are we losing that content? One reason could be because in the new format, it's redundant and we don't need it. So that would be a good thing. Or it could be that we couldn't find any place to fit the old content into the new document, and I think that would be a very bad thing because it kind of demonstrates that we don't quite have the structure right. Those are just basic, you know, basic responses to your concerns. I think, again, they're very valid concerns, and we should be cautious about this, doing it this way. But I also think that if we can save a lot of the work that's in the other document and move it over to this document, then there's, you know, we should still be in pretty good shape. Any other are there other thoughts from folks on what people feel like with this document? Like, do you feel very concerned about, you know, the stuff Sonny's saying and the stuff Nate's saying, or to the point that you're like, this was a nice experiment, but it was an experiment, it failed, let's push it to the side and let's go with the other use cases document, the current use cases document. So any strong feelings from people one way or the other yet?
I'm largely in favor of reorganizing it like this. I think it makes it much easier to figure out where the duplicated use cases are and organize new use cases more easily. I was also just going to make a suggestion that instead of saying the life cycle of a credential, we can call it the credential framework, since that's kind of how we've been talking about it on the call. And we could call each of these, the things underneath the framework, operations, and each operation has phases. That's just a suggestion.
I'd like operations. This is Nate.
Okay. All right, and then I see you've made a number of edits to the document at the top. or the document period. So that's good.
Yeah, just threw those parentheticals in there. We don't need to have those in the links, but just for people looking at it, see kind of maybe that's how we could model it.
Okay. The one thing that we haven't gotten to yet, so we stopped at, you know, the credential framework as it stands now, the top level, kind of the high level intro. We didn't talk about the rest of the document. And Sunny, I hopefully this addresses your concerns, or at least it speaks to your concerns. So how do we get the content from the old document into the new document without losing the vast majority of it? So if you look back at the table of contents back on page one, you'll see it says a simple example of a lifecycle credential. It's using lifecycle right now. It's the old terminology, but the idea here is we start off with an introduction, then we talk about the basic framework for the credential, and then we give people a very simple example of how, you know, a standard credential issuance, you know, the person takes a test, they get the credential issued to them, they store it in their credential vault slash backpack slash whatever their storage mechanism is, and then some organization consumes that credential and they do some management with it, right? We provide a simple example that kind of grounds how these phases work in a real world. So the simple example is set there to take the abstract, which is the credential framework, and make it more concrete. And it should be a very high-level thing, just one example. And then after the one example, we talk about the credentialing framework in detail. And this is where the use cases come in. So, for example, down in the credential framework in detail, let me find a page. So look at So go ahead and look at this link in IRC, example of framework detail micro use case. So that link there will take you to the first kind of, it's quote unquote micro use case. So the micro use cases are really composed of fairly simple, you know, a broad category for the micro use case, and then a description of, you know, what's going on there, and then we go through and we specify what the motivation is. So let's look at the bottom of page four, where it says recipient earns the credential. And so there are multiple ways for a recipient to earn the credential. The bottom of page six and the top of page five. One of them is a recipient can earn a credential by taking a test. So the micro use case is testing, right? So we're recipient earns a credential, they can do it through a test. And the example of this is Sally takes the GRE, right? That's an example of a test. Motivation for this: the results of tests could be tracked more easily if they were produced in the form of digital credential. And that's it. That's a micro use case. Right. So hopefully we can have, you know, it's easier for people to grasp that, and it's easier for people to add, you know, suggest additions to these micro use cases. The one at the top of page five here is, well, you could also get a credential. You could earn a credential as a byproduct of some kind of action that you do, like attending a conference. So Pele attends EduConf 2015, right? That's a byproduct of an action. The motivation is that credentials could be able to be issued, should be able to be issued as a side effect of performing a particular real-world action. So that at its most fundamental level, it's supposed to be, you know, these micro use cases are supposed to be fairly simple. But they can get fairly verbose as well. So if you look at the bottom, towards the bottom of page five, issuer issues credential to recipient, we have a claims micro use case. In this one, in the top you know, in the topmost block in that table, it says an issuer can make a variety of claims about a recipient. And then we go into detail on how these different claims can be made. You know, maybe a teacher awards a student with a digital certificate. Maybe somebody takes an online course. Maybe the government of California provides someone with a driver's license. Those kinds of things. So we give people kind of examples, more micro use case examples. But the rest of the format stays the same. So if you look towards the bottom of page 5, we've got something like, you know, motivation. An issuer can make a claim that asserts something specific about a recipient. We point out some of the security implications of this micro use case. We have to ensure that they are who they say you are before you issue a credential to them. There are privacy implications. We need to protect personally identifiable information. There are accessibility implications. The credential must be able to be issued to people that have disabilities, and there are exceptions that could happen in this micro use case, like the recipient may not have a way to store credentials when it's issued to them. So that's an example of a fairly robust micro use case. So all that text, this text that's in here, the majority of the text in the claims and the motivation was lifted from the old current use cases document. So my hope is that we will continue to be able to do that. Every single use case that we have in the current document should migrate over to this document. So Sunny, would you in REC, do you think that that's like, would that approach at least address your concern that we're starting from scratch, or you know, we're going to lose some of the content in the current use cases document?
That's good.
Okay, so I heard. Yep, sounds good. Okay, we only have 7 minutes in the call. We need to get to some of the other stuff on the agenda. So maybe we can just kind of put this discussion on hold. I think unless anyone disagrees, we'll try and move all the content in the current use cases document into this experimental one to make sure that we actually have a structure that's going to work, and that where everything in the current use cases document fits into the experimental one, and then we'll discuss it again next week to make sure that people feel good about it. And then if people feel good about it at that point, maybe then we can we can come to some sort of consensus on whether we keep the current document or we go with the experimental one. Any last thoughts on the use cases one document before we move on? Okay, Sunny's saying sounds good. Okay, and then again, thank you, Sunny and Carrie and Nate. Having that content in the current document made it a lot easier to just read through it and figure out a way to try and recategorize everything. Okay, credentials, badges, vocabulary update. I think a couple of people had a discussion yesterday about the vocabulary documents. Let's see, Elf doesn't have audio. Nate or Dave Longley, would either one of you want to give us an update on that discussion?
Go ahead, Dave. Did we just say go ahead to each other at the same time? Okay. Sure, I'll go first. I'm going to paste in IRC just a comment that Elf had made earlier. We kind of started the conversation because Elf had been doing some modeling with credentials and wanted to confirm that it could work well with Open Badges 2.0 effectively, I believe. And effectively, the conversation was just about how credentials are just a set of statements that can be digitally signed and can be are suitable for some purpose. And the modeling that we have in the identity credential spec, I think, kind of was going for that from the beginning, that credentials are very generic, and that any domain-specific areas can put their own vocabulary terms in there. And what Elf had done was he went and he took some stuff from the Open Badges work, and he modeled it using what's in the identity credential spec, just to demonstrate that it could fit well, and the way that it was modeled could also be provided a way for credentials to be created that could be verified in a hosted way or in a signed way. So and then we had a few more discussions about how you could have credentials live at a certain endpoint, and you could add a signature at a later point in time. So a credential could be sitting out on the web somewhere and not have a signature, and you have to use hosted verification. And at a later point in time, you could add a signature. And we also talked about how at a later point in time, you could add a revocation date and then re-sign to indicate that the credential had been revoked. I'm trying to remember if we had anything else in that discussion. Nate probably has some feedback from the Open Badges perspective.
Hey, but first, just a quick question on that last point to bring to this group, which is pretty familiar with linked data. Although maybe not signed linked data, these signed claims are a slightly new animal. But if something is revoked or needs to be modified and then re-signed, would it be a common pattern to have that document available, you know, at its IRI, as you said, for people to go and fetch the current version and then be able to tell, oh, this is different, oh, but it is still valid, maybe I will treat the new version as the you know, canonical version now.
Right. Whatever's sitting over at the URL, you would expect to be used as the new updated version, regardless of what changes were made there.
Cool, yeah. So the call yesterday, I really liked Elf's modeling. We've been having discussions in the Badge Alliance building our version 1.1 spec that's backwards compatible to some legacy implementation decisions. But at the same time, we're also trying to think forward about, okay, so what is, you know, the very best way to model achievement data, you know, badge data, that would work well in this linked data world. And what Elf came up with is very close to what we think we want to move towards, and it did look very, you know, cleanly compatible with the rest of the credential spec, which is real nice.
Yeah, one of the things Elf was doing that was very helpful was trying to show how linked data is really about decentralizing as much of this as you can, and then keeping things loosely coupled and then linking them together with statements, so that it's not so the stuff that doesn't get modeled sort of like this monolithic system where everybody has to kind of use the same vocabulary terms and follow some rigid set of rules. Instead, they're for example, he took something that was previously modeled as sort of a credential from a university. So something that was being modeled as a credential was a university degree. And instead of modeling it strictly as a credential, you would model it as a university degree because that's more true to how the data is modeled. And then it could be signed and reused as a credential. So the general idea is model data after keep model data true to what it actually is, but make sure that you can loosely couple these things and mark them up as credentials as needed.
This is one question. So, I mean, this all sounds great. Were there any kind of actions that came out of the discussion yesterday? I mean, do we need to change direction in any way, or like, what's the end result of the conversation, or are the conversations still kind of ongoing?
I would just say they're sort of ongoing. I think the end result for what came out of it in terms of the credential work that we're doing here in the community group hasn't changed all that much. I think what came out of it for us was that the model that we sort of have with credential and claim looks like it works well.
and can work well. And I think that there might be some actions for the Open Badges community to take in their work with their 2.0 stuff, and Nate can speak to that.
Yeah, and so one of the actions that was directly related was just sort of confirming our current approach on the context file, which I linked 30 seconds ago or so. We have a new version of the context. And Dave, before we get off audio, I just wanted to ask, did you make any headway on identifying whether that identity clash between this new and old context is going to be a blocker?
Unfortunately, we won't be able to do that because Eric is away running demos using all of those live systems. And the thing that we need to do is find a break point when we can test this stuff out on those live systems. So unfortunately, we're effectively blocked from testing that. And if we're blocking you, my recommendation, if you need to move, is to go ahead and use that other URL for now with the context that we agreed to, the merge context. And then hopefully we can switch it back over to that other URL once we've confirmed that it works.
Do you think that'll take more than a week?
Well, we certainly can't test it at all this week. So we wouldn't be able to even look at it until next week.
Yeah, it's okay, the ASU-GSV event, Nate. The ASU-GSV event is happening this, you know, week, and it's just really terrible timing. So hopefully next week we'd be able to, you know, jump on it Monday. Or actually, you know, maybe once the weekend hits, we could jump on it and try it out.
Cool. Keep me updated.
Okay. We want to do it as soon as possible. It's just, you know, we need to make sure that we don't kill an important demo right as it's happening. Yeah, we'll try and do that ASAP and keep you in the loop, Nate. And then, Nate, was your read the same as Dave Longley's? Do we need to change anything we're doing? Do we need to anything that needs to be discussed as a result of the discussion yesterday?
I think overall we confirmed that the current approach will work pretty well. Current approach being defined as having a pretty minimal vocabulary for credentials and then keeping all sorts of other information about like what you might actually want to use a credential to claim about someone off into a different spec. The badges spec, for example, not all identifiers that badges are going to be issued to are going to be URLs of identity documents that follow the credential spec. So we're going to have to come up with another sort of mechanism to indicate the recipient of a credential. Badges already has that, but I think it's going to work just fine to have the recipient of a credential that's signed sort of be a different email address than the IRI of the identity document that it sits in. I can prototype some of that and show you so that it's not confusing for you to try and think about just in words.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to piece it together in my head and was having a hard time.
There was only one other thing that I wanted to mention that came out of that call, which was that ELF is going to be throwing together some temporary contexts and probably hosting them on rawgit.com because they have course headers that work with the JSON-LD playground. So the whole point of that is we can throw together some temporary contexts and play around with things in the JSON-LD playground to communicate and kind of figure out what we want to do there.
Okay, and with that, I think we're out of time for today. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed before the call next week? Okay, so before the call next week, we'll try to make some progress on the experimental use cases document. We will try and test out this identity thing for you, Nate, as soon as we can. I think that's it. I feel like there was something else, but remember it later. All right. Thanks, everyone, for the call, and have a great rest of the week, and we'll chat again next Tuesday. Thanks. Bye.